Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
Have you ever driven by a wreck or somebody in trouble and you see maybe somebody's bleeding or there's a real problem and your first thought is, oh, I'd stop and help, but they might get my seats messed up. You say, well, nobody thinks that stuff. Ask yourself why you're not loading them up in your car sometime. What if they bleed on my seats? Concerned about my car more than a person.
You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. We're so grateful you've tuned into the program. Richard wants to share with you some encouragement, words of hope, and probably a laugh or two. And in today's complicated, busy life, that's exactly what's needed. Richard's talks are always straight from the Bible, filled with truth. Now, you may not be able to hang out with us for the entire program, but you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellis.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellis.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Go and Do. And I want you to turn to Luke chapter 10. And this is a very familiar passage to some of you. But as usual, I don't want to make the mistake of assuming that everybody has read this story, because sometimes people have not even read the Bible at all and it may be a brand new thing. But let me caution you about one thing before we get into this. Because once you turn to it and you see it, some of you go, oh yeah, I know that story. I've read it 100 times. Heard it as a kid. Don't write it off, because we're going to go through it again and just ask God to show you something maybe you haven't seen. But maybe more importantly than that is not just for God to show you what it says, but show you what to do about what it says. All of my life, either personally or the people that I come in contact with, I know some godly people, some gifted people, some wise people supposedly, who know what the book says, but they don't want to do what the book says. And this town specifically, and anywhere in the country you go, especially in the Bible Belt in the South, and we're kind of in the belt buckle of the Bible Belt, you get down here and there are people who can quote you verses, know the Greek, know the Hebrew, know everything about it. But if you look at their life, the question is not what do you know, it's what are you doing about what you know. And you can know what it says, guys, but if you're not going to go and do what it says, it's just not going to work for you. Now, the key to this passage is a verse that, for me personally, has changed my life and is kind of a key verse for our whole church. And let's start in verse 25, Luke chapter 10. And it says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" Now, the key word here in this verse is the word test. He's not interested. He knows what to do. He's challenging Jesus. He's going to try to trap Jesus and catch Jesus and get him to say something or change what the Old Testament, what the Torah says is the way, the tradition says is the way to heaven. So he says, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? How do I get to heaven?" And he said to him, Jesus said, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" "Well, what does the book say?" "You're the teacher. You tell me." So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Now, I know some of you say, well, we go over this over and over and over again, but if you've never been here, and whether we've gone over or not, guys, this relationship, the vertical relationship, has to be working, or your horizontal relationships will never work. And I'm surrounded by people, even myself, get in this deal, we think if I can find somebody or something or some place to live or go, if I get this horizontal stuff going right, then the vertical will work out, or who cares if it works out. As long as this stuff with other people is working, I'm okay. God set it up where unless it's working vertically, it will never work horizontally. And I meet people, single people, people who are married, running around, trying to find somebody else, divorced people, whoever they may be, trying to find somebody to fix them. If I just found some man, just found some woman, and they fell in love with me and vice versa, then we'd be fine, I'd be happy. But the same people that try to do that, that I talk to, find that person, get married, and about a week or two later, come back in the office, if they're being honest a lot of times, and go, "Okay, I did that, it didn't work, now what do I do?" Stop trying to find somebody else unless the somebody else is Jesus. It's just not going to work. And he quotes it here, this teacher, this lawyer, this student of the law, says you've got to love the Lord your God with all your heart. You've got to love Him with all your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind. That's everything you've got. Now, how in the world am I going to love God unless He loves me? Now listen close to this, because I've burned up 20-something years of my life missing this part. I was trying to do what the book said and love God with all my heart, mind, soul, strength, everything I had, love God. But fundamentally, I wasn't really sure He loved me. How am I going to give love back to God if I don't even believe I've got love from God? At some point, you've got to understand that this God loves you, and there's no way He can prove it more than letting His own Son, Jesus Christ, come live a perfect life, die a perfect sacrifice, be buried and raised from the dead, so you can live the life He intended for you. You've got to let God love you. And every week I sit down and have a conversation with people who don't have a clue for some reason, either because they've been raised religious or just have never had anybody explain to them that just God loves them. Whether you're good or bad, happy, sad, no matter what, He loves you. And the reason He does and can love you is because of what Jesus did. And at some point in your life, you're just going to have to let Him love you. Now, if you get that kind of love, you're going to be amazed at what kind of love you have to give back to Him. All of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, all of your strength. You're going to say, God, I love You. Now, if God can love me and I can love God, I can love my neighbor how? As I love myself. And some of you are sick of hearing me say this, but the problem I see in the world today is just that. Everybody's loving their neighbor as they love themselves. And if you love yourself, you're going to love your neighbor. If you don't love yourself, you're not going to love your neighbor. But you're never really going to truly love yourself the way God intended unless you let God love you. And when He says you're okay, and He's blessed you, and He's said that you're perfect, complete, whole, like in Ephesians chapter 1 talks about, that He's accepted you, He's made you perfect, complete, righteous, holy. When He makes those statements about you, it means that you're okay in Christ because of what He's done. So if you get that, then you look at somebody else and instead of being critical or trying to stay away from them or change them so much, you say, you know what? God loves me. I love God. I can love myself because of that. And now I can love you the same way I love myself. So the better it gets vertically, the better it gets horizontally. And in a minute, Jesus is going to tell a story to this guy to demonstrate how this is working or not working. Verse 28, and He said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this and you'll live. All right, just go do that and you'll live. And the word live here, not just eternally, but beginning now. You live that way, guys, you're going to live a different life. Now, this guy should have shut up and let it go. But he, verse 29, the lawyer, but he wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus. Now, he's trying to justify what? The fact that he knew what the book said, but he wasn't willing to do what the book said. He knew the Scripture and quoted it to Jesus. He said, go do that. He said, well, now he starts feeling bad. He says, well, let me ask you a technical question. Who is my neighbor? Trying to get off on some tangent, get off the subject. Who is my neighbor? And Jesus buries this poor guy with the answer to this question. Then Jesus answered and said, he tells him a story. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. He got highway robbery. He got robbed on the way to Jericho. And they stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, beat him up, and left him, departed, leaving him half dead. So this poor guy has been robbed, stripped naked, beaten up, and left for dead, half dead, laying on the side of the road. Now I would say this person's in trouble. And this guy on a highway today would cause what we call onlooker traffic. And I have yet to figure out what this is about. This guy had onlooker traffic that wouldn't quit. Now look what happens. This guy's beaten up, stripped, he's naked, wounded, and they left him half dead. Verse 31, now by chance a certain priest came down that road. Religious guy, priest, dressed to the nines in all of his regalia. By chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. I'm going to tell you something that kind of concerns me a little bit, and I can remember having these thoughts. And you may say, oh, that's terrible, you shouldn't think these things. Have you ever driven by a wreck or somebody in trouble, and you see maybe somebody's bleeding or there's a real problem, and your first thought is, oh, I'd stop and help, but they might get my seats messed up. You say, well, nobody thinks that stuff. Ask yourself why you're not loading them up in your car sometime. What if they bleed on my seats? Concerned about my car more than a person. I've had those thoughts. That's why I bought a pickup. Anyhow, no, I don't have a pickup. Maybe that's why you bought a pickup. Is there something in you when you see somebody in need that just immediately you say, you know what, God, I'm here, I'm willing, use me. Here is a priest who is supposed to know the stuff and be doing the stuff, and he sees a guy, and I get this picture, a man who is naked, he's been robbed, he's beaten, it's visible that he's been beaten, and this guy just glances over, sees him, and goes the other way. How is that possible? Now, I had a situation in here. I sat and talked to the nurse in the office for about an hour. And I'm going to tell you something, guys. I have not gotten this feeling in a long time. I sat and listened to story after story trying to find out what was going on in this school and in these neighborhoods. And I got nauseous. Something turned in me so much, so bad, that I started getting physically sick because it was just too much. The horror stories that these kids have to live with, parents who abandon them, who beat them, brothers who do stuff to these girls, just walking through the halls, the fear that there is in a building like this with these students. And I think, God, how can I hear these things and just walk out of here and not do something? You know what? It happens every day. It is possible. You say, well, the problem's too overwhelming. There's no way I can address it. I'm on my way. I'm in a hurry. I've got to be somewhere. Where do you have to be that is worth passing by someone who's not going to live in this case? And this priest blows by the first guy. So he has a priest go by. Then look at the next one. Certain man went down. He gets hit. A priest comes by, verse 32, likewise a Levite, another religious guy comes by. When he arrived at the place, now he does something a little different. He went over and looked. Now he's the guy that doesn't just drive by looking. He stops his car and goes, oh my gosh, what a mess. And then he gets in his car and drives away. He arrived at the place, he came and looked, and he passed by on the other side. Now, I'm going to tell you one of the reasons I'm reading this story. I don't want to be in a church or be a person or part of a church of people who live like this. Because the world is filled with religious people who go to work every day, come home every day, put a Bible on their desk, quote the verses, point their finger, badmouth everybody else around them. But when it comes down to doing all the stuff they're criticizing everybody else for not doing, they don't step up to the plate. We have got to be a people who not just will say, but will do. You got to be willing to go and do something about what this book says. Or your life will not change, or the world around you will not change. And I got to tell you, I don't know that I've ever been in a church where there's a higher percentage of people who step up to the plate. When something goes wrong, somebody's sick, food is hauled, somebody needs their place painted, it's painted. Somebody's moving, somebody helps. Somebody gets in trouble, there are people there. We may miss a few things along the way, but guys, that's the kind of place people are looking for, a full-service church. You know why you don't go back to hotels and restaurants sometimes when you go and don't go back? Because the service is poor. We are in a service industry. If you want to put it in business terms, we are a service-oriented industry, a church. And it is about being a servant and serving other people. And when they have a problem, you address the need and say, God, not somebody else. It's not, here am I, send so-and-so. It's, here am I, send me. I'll do something about it. And then if you get to the point where you can't do any more about it, you say, okay, we're going to get some backup and I'm going to get some help. And I've talked to some guys who sit down with people and psychologically maybe they're depressed or suicidal or something. Guys, there's places where if you talk to me and that's your condition and you need professional help, I'll say, I don't deal with this on an everyday basis. We'll get you some help though. And you keep passing them up line, but if you can do it, you do it. You got a priest and a Levite who pass by on the other side. And then he takes an amazing turn in verse 33. Look down at verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he's on his way somewhere too like they are. He's busy. He's probably on a business trip going from one town to the other. He came where he was. And here's the difference. And this Samaritan, by the way, guys, these Jews hated Samaritans. If you think racial tension between blacks and whites and blacks and Hispanics and whites and Muslims and Christians and all that is tense, you have never seen anything the likes of Samaritan and Jew. The Jews would go completely around the country of Samaria not to go through it. And there's a story about a woman at a well in Samaria where Jesus cut through the country. He shouldn't have done it because Jews never did that. And they were amazed that he even went that way, much less that he sat at a well and talked to this woman. But they hated him. So Jesus pulls this story out of the air about a priest and a Levite and then throws a Samaritan in there. And I'm telling you, this probably just cranked this guy's gut even further, this lawyer that he's talking to. Verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. That's the key. Jesus had compassion. This guy in the story has compassion. If you have no compassion, you'll never do anything about it. And we're not going to be a dysfunctional family that acts like nothing's going on. We got heavy-duty stuff going on in here, but when everybody does something about it, it gets changed a whole lot quicker than one person getting buried by one thing. So he saw him and he had compassion. Now let me tell you how you know whether you really have compassion. You want to know how you can tell if you really, you say, well, I'm a compassionate person. It will move you to do something. If you think that you have compassion because you look at somebody and say, oh, what a tragedy, I feel so bad for them, but you don't do anything, you don't really have compassion. Not on the average. When you find something inside you, stir, your gut churns, and someone inside of you, not something, says, it's you, let's do. And you find yourself mobilized to take some action, now you got compassion. Because this guy goes completely out of his way. So verse 34, so he went to him and bandaged his wounds, goes over the guy, gets his hands dirty, gets down there on the ground, bandages this guy's wounds, pouring on oil and wine, his own. He didn't send for an ambulance, or weren't any. He's it. He gets his own oil, his own wine, his own bandages, pouring oil and wine on him, and he set him on his own animal. Now, if you're not figuring it out yet, guys, when you have compassion, you're going to do something, and something's going to happen. You are going to be inconvenienced. And our country is about convenience, not inconvenience. And if it's convenient, I'll help. And if it's convenient, I'll go. If it's convenient, I'll serve. But I don't want to be inconvenienced. If it's out of my way, forget it. This guy has stopped his whole life, his whole trip, and does what? Takes care of his wounds, pours oil and wine on him, sets him on his own animal, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Now you say, but Richard, there's so much stuff. I can't do all that. You know what? Let me tell you something. Nobody's asking you to do all of anything. This is about you doing your part. The Holy Spirit's not stupid. He's not going to mobilize you and kill you helping people. It's not going to do anybody good if I burn out or any one of you burn out. It's about everybody doing their part, and when we all do our part, and I don't want to use any names to embarrass anybody, but last night I saw a couple in our church. Now listen close. You guys say, well, I've heard this story. I don't care if you can quote me the story. We're trying to get you to do the story. This couple last night has a neighbor. The neighbor has a child. The child needs somebody to watch it every once in a while. These people come to our church. This couple does. This couple that lives next to them doesn't go to church. Probably not even Christians as far as we know. But the couple in our church takes the couple's baby and watches the baby for an evening. You say, well, what does that have to do with God or ministry? Everything. It's about building relationships and meeting needs. You say, well, what if they never come to our church? Who cares? We're not trying to get everybody in this church. We're trying to get everybody in the church. And there's only one of those on the planet. If they go somewhere else, fine. Our job is to see them where they are, meet the needs where they are, do something about it, and keep moving. God is not going to cause you to lose your job helping people. Okay? You say, well, what if my whole day is screwed up and I can't get my work done? He's not that kind of God. And if He wants you to lose your job and go into this full time, He'll make that possible. That may be the case. He's going to provide some ways. What may happen is your job may not be able to give, and your family may not be able to give, but it may cost you a little more TV time, or video time, or leisure time, doing stuff you want to do instead of stuff God wants you to do. You say, but that doesn't sound very fun. Guys, let me tell you something. Let's have fun when we get to heaven. Let's get the job done here so we can all get out of here. The sooner we get the story told and reach the people on this planet, the sooner we're out of here anyway. All right, so he takes him to an inn, took care of him. Verse 35. On the next day, he stays up with this guy all night. And you know, if we had time, and I'd never do it because it singles people out and they get embarrassed by this stuff. You know, we got drug addicts in this church. We got alcoholics in this church. We got about everything you can have. And you know what? You can't just wave a God bless you and go in peace at them and everything be okay. Sometimes somebody goes down and you got to stay with them until they get back up. And it's not fun. When they're sick, when they're down on themselves and they're not going to make it, you got to hang with them though. You can't hang with too many at a time, but you can hang with one at a time. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him and whatever more you spend when I come again, I'll repay you. Hands him a gold American Express basically and says, this ought to cover what we got so far. Here's my account number. If he needs anything else, cover it. This is inconvenient, expensive, costly living, guys. You're not going to live this clean little perfect Christian life and run up and down the toll road and hide yourself from problems and live anything you can find in this book. It's going to cause you to get involved somewhere, sometime with somebody beyond the normal everyday life. Does this make sense to anybody out there? Does this sound very exciting? You know what? Whenever I talk about these things, people look at me and go, oh my gosh, that's awful. But I can line people up here who know exactly what I'm talking about and ask them, was your life better before or after you became a servant? Before or after you let God work in you and through you? Before or after it got expensive and costly and you gave of yourself? And I'm telling you, 100% of them will tell you, my life has never been more fulfilled than when I gave my life away. And Jesus is the one that said it, if you try to hold on to your life, you lose it. When you lose your life for His sake, that's when you find it. And the joy, the fulfillment that comes from letting God live in you and through you is unbelievable. Why do you think so much of the world doesn't get our Christianity stuff? Because we talk it, but we don't do it. And they don't get it. Verse 36. So he looks at this lawyer and he says, so which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And the guy's just hammered. Because he can't say the priest, he can't say the Levite. He's got to say the Samaritan because of not of his position, but because of his action was the one who really cared. And verse 37, and he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Go and do, not go and say, but go and do the same thing that you saw him do. It's not about knowing. It's about going and doing all these things that Jesus talks about.
Richard Ellis will return in a moment to wrap up today's talk with a few final words. But first, I want to share some important information about the program. The reason we do this is to share with you the good news. When you open your heart and life to the saving grace of Jesus Christ, that's the beginning point of the most amazing journey you'll ever experience. But it's also a journey that we want to join with you. So if you've been on this road for a while or just getting started, let us know how we can help. Maybe you've got some questions, stuck in neutral, or even wondering how to take the next breath. We get it and want to help you in any way we can. Give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us through our website, richardellis.com. We're here to celebrate with you too. So if this program has made a difference to you and encouraged you in any way, tell us about it. We'd love to hear your story. So let's keep this conversation going by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or send us an email through our website, richardellis.com. That would really make our day. To know how Richard's talks have helped you, call 855-6-RICHARD or email us through the website, richardellis.com. And speaking of the messages, you can find today's talk along with every audio and video message from Richard at our website, richardellis.com. Finally, we really believe that these talks with Richard are making a big difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute to this ministry by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellis.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Let's pray. And our Father, I thank you so much for your word. And I thank you for the opportunities we have, not just today, but every day, to be involved in people's lives. And from the second we leave this place, the rest of this week, we are going to see situations, see people, see needs. And Father, we're going to have an option to either drive by, walk by, talk by, or to stop and do something and let you work in us and through us. And Father, there may be people under the sound of my voice who they are even trying to do something to get you to love them. They're trying to do something to win your approval. They're trying to be good people. But somehow even being good alone doesn't work. And what they've understood today, maybe for the first time, is that they've got to have the relationship with you first before anything they're going to do is really going to bring fulfillment and make a true difference, not just in this life, but for eternity. For anybody in that category, Father, help them understand and come to the place where they just admit, God, I've screwed up, I know I'm a sinner, and I need your forgiveness. And I believe that Jesus died on the cross, was buried and raised from the dead to give me eternal life with you, Father, and abundant life on earth between here and heaven. I thank you for loving me and for dying to pay my way and to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come live in me and through me right now to give me eternal life. I receive this gift of eternal life that you offer free of charge. And I ask you to live in me and through me, make a difference around me, and give me wisdom, not only in the relationship I have with you, myself, and others, but give me the wisdom and the strength and the courage, the boldness to take action, to speak words of kindness, to do acts of kindness, and to make a difference in people's lives where what I say is backed up by what I do. Father, help us to be a church of people, individuals who go and do like this Samaritan. God, we love you so much. We thank you for loving us. And again, we thank you for Jesus and his life, his death, burial, and resurrection. And we ask you to use us this day and this week to make a difference in your name. And we pray it in that name, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. We all have busy schedules these days, so it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Richard would love to know how today's talk has touched your heart, so give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD, 855-6-RICHARD. You can also share your story with us at our website, richardellis.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program that is always expanding to reach the world with the good news of the gospel, but it also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program like ours means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. We believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life, so this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by calling 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellis.com. Thank you for your generosity. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.